St. Augustine's Lockdown Retreat, Week 4, Hearing and Responding to God's Invitation. Andrew Walker speaking. I've been thinking more about discernment recently. Many of the larger decisions of life have been taken from us at present, but that perhaps throws some of the smaller ones still with us into sharper relief, and our God's invitation to new life is surely there for all of us and at all times, whatever our present circumstances. Discernment as well is about far more than simple decision-making. In the Spiritual Exercises of Ignatius Loyola, who lived from 1491 to 1556, there is a process of preparing for and making a specific choice or commitment, sometimes known in the jargon as the election. But this might involve a change of direction in life, or it might be a recommitment within an existing life. But in both cases, a new covenant with God has been enabled, a new relationship with the divine that will enable and vivify the now graced individual into their future. Now, these spiritual exercises were composed over time, out of the experience Ignatius had first with himself and then journeying with others in the faith. He came gradually to observe that there was a natural unfolding to the workings of the Holy Spirit within us all, if it was protected and freed from the exterior distractions and interior obstacles that frequently get placed in its path. So the exercises became a structured retreat experience, lasting about 30 days, in which an individual is helped through greater self-knowledge and a deeper encounter with Scripture and the workings of grace to come to a place of freedom before and intimacy with God, a place from which a real and lasting commitment can be made, however that commitment may play out in the months and years ahead. The occasion of this commitment or election is a key point in the journey, when our life and Christ's are most aligned, and it is the beginning of a new apostleship, which will be different for each one of us, and which should last long into the future. Prior to that, in the text of the exercises, the pilgrim or retreatant is referred to by Ignatius as the exercitant, and he calls the accompanier the director of the exercises. After the point of election, Ignatius's language changes. The exercitant becomes the one who contemplates, and the director the one who presents the order and the method. In other words, there's a shift in power, and the role of the spiritual guide is gradually becoming redundant, and the retreatant is seen as being held within the mystery of the encounter with Christ, the one who contemplates, bringing about an intimacy and dependence that will serve them as guide and lodestar into whatever calling, ministry, or life awaits in the future. The election is therefore part of a journey of greater knowledge of oneself and a greater knowledge of the divine, and the resulting humility and gratitude that naturally arise enables balance and ever greater freedom in our awareness of life's encounters and vicissitudes, and in judging and shaping our responses. It is the point where we have the greatest clarity about who God in Christ is, who we are in ourselves, and what is it we really want out of life and in each situation, and above all, what God wants for us in his calling to live out the gospel to the world we inhabit. As St. Augustine says in one of his sermons, you have heard the words, sing to the Lord a new song, and you wish to know what praises to sing. The answer is, his praise is in the assembly of the saints, it is in the singers themselves. If you desire to praise him, then live what you express. Live good lives, and you yourselves will be his praise. This embodiment of praise in us is why discernment is as much about daily lived dependence upon God as upon any particular decision-making. Get that daily lived dependence upon God right, and then the decisions and choices will tend to flow forth naturally and without effort. Well, you may be thinking, that all sounds great, but is it really for me? And if so, how easy or how difficult it might it be? And of course, what too might I be letting myself in for? Maybe then we should go back to the beginning and ask ourselves those basic and foundational questions. Who is God for me? How do I see or imagine God? Do I carry baggage from my upbringing or from the church or other events which affect how God is or can be in my life? And what of creation, the world we steward, all other sentient beings, the created order comprising all that can be touched, seen, tasted, smelt and heard? What of that? And what of myself? How am I with myself and others? Do I like myself? Do I find myself acceptable or even lovable or not? And am I always at the centre of my imaginary cosmos, or could I recognise that maybe that is God's place? And with regard to these questions, who is God, what of creation, what of myself, is there anything that I recognise about any of this that I would ideally like to be different? And if so, can I get in touch with how I would really like it to be? What could I accept as a more creative forward, way forward, and could I pray for that now? Here is the beginning of greater knowledge of God and of self, and the beginning of the possibility of greater freedom in God's service. So I'm going to ask a few questions of you, and I'm going to allow a pause for thought, but you can always delay or save them for later or ignore them. So I suggest you might ask yourself, so who is God for me at present? Who is God for me at present? And secondly, how am I before God in turn? How am I before God in turn? And thirdly, and would I like any of this to be different? Would I like any of this to be different? And finally here, so is there anything out of this you would like to acknowledge or express to God or to yourself, or that maybe God may wish to acknowledge or express to you now? Is there anything out of this to acknowledge or express, or maybe that God may wish to acknowledge or express to you now? I'm going to move on now to look at another strategy that is related to discernment. This would be to begin your day or a period of discrete time and to focus on looking back in a brief moment of quiet so as to notice all that has been there for you by way of the graced activity of the Holy Spirit, all that has been there for you by way of obstacles to that Spirit, and to articulate if there's anything by way of insights or gift from that period of time to carry into the next time ahead. It was Kierkegaard who said, "We live life forward, but will only ever really understand it backwards." And by reflecting on and being open to learn from the past, we use an activity in the present to serve the future, our future, and the future building of God's kingdom. In the spiritual exercises, Ignatius calls this spiritual practice the examine, and it's part of a much wider strategy of digestion and reflection. It wasn't an invention of his, and indeed is found in most religious traditions, but he did harness it in a particular way. In the spiritual exercises and on the 30-day retreat, every time of prayer, and there are usually five a day, includes an ingredient of colloquy or conversation, as one mulls over with God towards the end of the time of prayer what has been going on in the encounter with the scripture and around it in our reflection. After the formal time of prayer, a brief reflection known as the review follows, when all that needs to be captured is noted down. Often this is then taken into a further time of prayer known as a repetition, where one doesn't return to the scripture passage itself, but to one's experience of it, good and bad. And this repetition has its own concluding colloquy and later review. So above all, throughout the whole period of 24 hours of prayer, there is a process of distillation and recognition. Distilling our lived experience so that the actions of God's grace and the actions of all that might limit that grace in our lives becomes ever more apparent and identifiable. A conscious process of sifting consciousness so that we can come to learn what is of most importance from God's point of view and how we can best grow in obedience to his invitation into new life. A conscious process that over time and by habit hopefully will become unconscious, so that the praise of God we are called to embody in our lives and loves, our choices and our actions, becomes ever more fluent and lived out. Now, I've used quite a lot of jargon there: examine, review, colloquy, repetition. None of it really matters to be remembered or taken on board particularly. But once again, I'm going to invite a few questions for reflection with pause in between, so that we can have an experience of that examine, that important tool for our daily lived discernment and our daily lived dependence upon God. So just invite you, as we pause again, to choose a period of time, maybe since you woke up this morning, maybe the last 24 hours, half day or whatever. So as you reflect on this period of time, how do you say you have been most graced? What has been most of new life? What has energized you or touched you deeply and usefully? And with regard to the same period of time, what has tended to diminish or distract you from the effects of that grace? What have diminished your life in that period of time? And out of our reflection so far, is there anything to learn about ourselves, about who or how we are, about God? Is there anything to take forward to name as a gift into the rest of the time ahead, the day ahead, the next 24 hours? Is there anything to learn and name to take forward? And finally here, as what we acknowledge what has been, let us give thanks where we can for what we have received, and let us pray for God's grace and blessing and help for the time ahead. I conclude with a favourite prayer of mine from the writings of W. H. Auden. And because of his visitation, we may no longer desire God as if he were lacking. Our redemption is no longer a question of pursuit, but of surrender to him who is always and everywhere present. Therefore, at every moment we pray that following him, we may depart from our anxiety into his peace. Amen.